Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 31 to 37. God confronts this generation. Verse 31. You of this generation, speaking to Judah, Jeremiah's day, you of this generation, consider the word of the Lord. I've talked about the past, says God. I've talked about your history. Now, let me bring it home to you. You of this generation, you listening to me today, through Jeremiah, this young man, lifting up his voice, proclaiming, in spite of all the false prophets, proclaiming the word of the Lord. You of this generation, consider the word of the Lord. Now, of course, verse 31 applies directly to Judah in Jeremiah's day. But God is always saying that. He's always saying it to me. He's always saying it to you. He's saying it to this generation. You of this generation, consider the word of the Lord. You've been hearing the words of the false prophets. Now listen to me, says God. Now how does he speak to Judah? He does it by a series of questions. Punchy, confronting, probing questions. This is always the most powerful way of preaching and teaching. Not just making bland statements, giving lectures, nor even asking questions where the answer is obvious and rhetorical, or looking for confirmation, weak questions. But look at this. Have I been a desert to Israel, or a land of great darkness? That's a searching question. But the answer is obviously no. It's a rhetorical question, but it's a powerful question. You have been treating me as though I have deserted Israel. I've made Israel a desert. You're treating me as though I've brought Israel into a land of darkness. I gave you a land of plenty. I gave you riches. I gave you prosperity. These are the days of the old covenant when such things came with that covenant. Why do my people say, we are free to roam? We will come. We are free to roam. We will come to you no more. We're going to go our own way. Why have you chosen that path? Why have you gone down that road? And then another very powerful illustration. Look how God uses illustrations. Look how he gets the prophets to use illustrations. We should use illustrations, brothers and sisters, in our preaching and teaching. Of course, as Spurgeon said, if it's all illustration, it's just windows. We want some structure. But within that structure, we want light. Does a maiden forget her jewelry, a bride her wedding ornaments? Think about the wedding day. Think about the bride. Well, I don't know where I put my dress. Well, I don't know where I put the flowers. I don't know who's coming. You can't believe it, can you? I don't know what time we're getting married. I'd forgotten. I haven't thought about it much. Well, yet Judah has forgotten me. Yet my people have forgotten me. Days without number. It's gone on and on and on. Think, what have I done to deserve it, says God. Why are you doing this to me? The wrongness of it, the stupidity of it, the impossibility of it, a maiden forgetting her wedding day and all the pleasures of it. Isaiah 49, verses 14 to 16. My people have forgotten me, says God. I haven't forgotten them, but they have forgotten me. These are dreadful sins. Verse 34, look at this. On your clothes, men find the lifeblood of the innocent poor. Oh, I've missed out verse 33. How skilled you are at pursuing love. An exclamation mark. Even the worst of women can learn from your ways. This is Judah, meant to be the witness to God. The pagans can learn wickedness from Judah. Just think of that. On your clothes, men find the lifeblood of the innocent poor. Though you did not catch them breaking in. It wasn't though you were protecting your property. Another illustration. You've gone out looking for trouble. You've gone out hurting people, damaging people. Within Judah, you have hurt the poor. Yet, in spite of all this, you say, I am innocent. He is not angry with me. How stupid can Judah be? How foolish, how self-deceived, how self-righteous can Judah be? God is speaking to this generation, my brothers and sisters. He is speaking to me. Am I self-righteous? Am I forgetful? Have I gone away from God? Am I justifying myself? Am I this deceived? I believe God has a controversy with this generation of evangelicals. I believe he's speaking to us, my brothers and sisters. I believe he is making us see where we are. But I will pass judgment on you. Look at that bat. What a powerful bat. I will pass judgment on you. You may say, oh, well, no, judgment, no, no, no. But I will pass judgment on you because, and here is the reason, you say, I have not sinned. Yes, I have laid some strong accusations against the churches these days, going to the world and paganism, and I can hear the outcry, if any outcry there is. No, it's not us. My friend, God sees. God is not mocked. God is not deceived. God is not fooled. He knows. And if I am right, if I am speaking the word of the Lord here in Jeremiah chapter 2, and if this does apply to this generation, then judgment, as sure as eggs are eggs, then judgment shall come. Why do you go about so much changing your ways? Now, this is a very important point. Verse 36. Have you not noticed, when men forsake the old, the ancient way, that's Jeremiah 6, verse 16, we shall come to it. When men forsake the old way, the ancient way, they look for novelty. And once they're hooked on that drug, they're never satisfied. Why do you go about so much changing your ways? Ah, you've gone to Egypt. Egypt's all the fashion at the moment. Ah, well, that'll be disappointment for you. And so we go off to Assyria. But then that's all the fashion. But then that's going to go out of the window too. You will also leave that place. Yes. And in the end, you will come to utter ruin. You will also leave Jerusalem and Judah with your hands on your head. For the Lord has rejected those you trust. You've gone to the pagans. They're broken reeds. God pictures it as a cane that will snap and splinter your hand. They're blind, leaders of the blind. You will not be helped by them. That's a word for the pagan engineers of today in the churches. You're hooked on novelty, and once you're hooked on novelty, you can't get enough of it. What satisfied today will not satisfy tomorrow. It'll have to be something new, because that shop, and I'll call it the shop, that business, that corporation down the road, is called a church, but it's a corporation, will be offering something newer, something fresher, something brighter, something more cheerful, and you will have to fall into line. This is what Judah did. Once it went to Egypt, once it went to Assyria, then it went here, then it went there. They could never get enough of it, and it never satisfied. Ask for the old paths, the ancient paths, the good paths, Jeremiah 6, verse 16. For Judah, that was Sinai. For the Ecclesia, that's Calvary and Pentecost. For Judah, it was the law of Moses. For the believer today, it's the law of Christ. This is being repeated today, my friend. This is a word for this generation. Verse 31, you of this generation. And I speak today. I know my voice is weak, but I try to raise it. I know I'm going against wind and tide. I'm speaking into the whirlwind, but I speak, and I hope God will use it. It may be in the wilderness, but I cry out. Oh, this generation, hear the word of the Lord through Jeremiah to Judah. This love of novelty, this paganism, will bring ruin and disaster. May God open our eyes and hearts. May we not be self-righteous and self-justifying. May we turn in repentance and reformation to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the day come when we shall cleanse the temple again. For Christ's sake. Amen.